I can.
Yes. Another way to avoid the technology problem of transferring the files is that I have Mochalfila. So.
Is that what?
Is that I have Mochalfila. So, there we go.
Okay, yeah.
This idea that we're getting into now from the Ramchal, that you can only understand Shlili.
Right.
I always thought that this was the Ramchal's chiddush, but it's, the Rishonim already said it.
The Rishonim said it already. The early Rishonim talk about it. Some pros, some against. It's not his chiddush. He emphasized it, and it's more than that. He focuses on Yichud. It doesn't... You really don't accomplish much if you say God is not stupid, not weak, not mean. So he's trying. His chiddush is that of all the things that we can get to something positive by eliminating is yichud.
Is this really, hamshach of the Rambam? Negative theology.
Well, they said that there's nothing we can know positive about Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's not his chiddush. I guess his chiddush would be to focus on yichud. Let's talk about outside a second, because that's going to, in a certain sense, is the key point that he's making. That's going to be making here. Have you ever seen those tricky pictures they have that have like a white cup and a black background, and then you can also see the faces? It's either two faces or that. So let's take the cup part. If I want to draw a picture of a cup, I can draw a picture of a cup. Or I can paint in everything around it black, and what I'm left with is a cup automatically. If we ask ourselves, what is our biggest problem with Hashem in this world? So I say, well, it's the economy that produces wealth. It's the doctors that produce health. It's the strong people who have the power of life and death over me. Avodah Zarah, that is the opposite of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, is there are other forces. There are many forces in the world other than a Kadosh Baruch Hu. If I start eliminating it, and I start saying, well, we can trace how things develop through evolution, but evolution in itself is a dead end. Doctors can do a lot for a person, but at the end of the day, we just get old and die at some point, no matter what. Kings have powers, but the Soviet Empire crumbled and disintegrated, Rome crumbled and disintegrated, and Hitler crumbled and disintegrated, and so on and so forth. Then the more we eliminate all the other possibilities, then we have one. I don't know if there was one of Agatha Christie's story was then there was one, then there was none. I don't know if you ever it's
before our time.
Huh?
Before our time.
Before your time. You probably saw the movie. Or you played the game, maybe.
We caught it on Twitter, 140 characters.
Twitter.
140 characters.
Okay. In those days, a short story was 4 or 5 pages. They didn't have... 140 characters was a burp. There was nothing there. There was nothing there that could... It's one of her... I think it's one of her early short stories. Very good. It goes like this. There were 10 people on an island. Like, I think they went on some sort of vacation, some casino vacation or something like that. Some sort of gambling vacation. And then somebody there was killed. And everybody was frightened. Who of the other 9, who of the other 8 actually, was the one who killed him. And they found, I think they found a little poem pinned, 10 little Indians. And it goes, then there were 9, the 9 little Indians, there were 8. I didn't do Chazaras, so I don't remember all the details. But the poem goes, then there were none. And, you know, and she goes through that story. You know, she goes through every few days, another one was found killed. And it ratchets up the attend, you know, this tremendously. And finally at the end, and maybe at the end, like, 2 guys were left, each one realized the other one was the killer, and they killed each other. And then they found a note again pinned, and it was actually one of the other guys who had pretended to be dead was the one who had killed something like that. But it was something that was a... But it's like fascinating. You keep wondering, and then you get to none, and you say, what happened? But Al Kapanim, when you eliminate our life... is spent struggling with Avodah Zarah, today it's not rocks and stuff, it's other things. So a person says, okay, I'm going to cut a corner and do something I shouldn't, that will get me a lot of wealth. I'll get my institution a lot of wealth. I'll do a lot for Torah. You know, if I'm not nice to this person, if I say it's not, I'm not going to have this, and so on. You know, so we do feel really that other things, and the process of being beyachid Shem Hashem is eliminating other things. This is not going to do it. This is not going to do it. And at the end, you're left with one thing. I had a doctor in Azabira. He just passed away. Fairly young person, Yossi Kleiman, a very, very special person. He was a Rabbi Yashiv doctor. He was a Haredi fellow, he was very Israeli. And, you know, so there was a man in our neighborhood, Rabbi Ebner's Ben Avracha, who had a massive, massive heart attack. And he basically lay dying, and the night before he was scheduled to die, we were very close with his wife, who's still alive in Israel. We came to her, so we came out to the hospital and we sat with the Chevra Kadisha making the arrangements. He was dying in the ICU room. They were making all the arrangements for the Leviah, for the cave, and is that he didn't die the next day. Got a little bit better day after. And at the end of 2 weeks, he left the hospital. And he had for another 10 years, he had a fully functioning life. I mean, he couldn't run a marathon, but walked about, no problems. He actually died of cancer 10 years later. And so I asked the doctor, I said, claim something about, did this happen? Did that? Like, what? He said, it shows you. All this shows is that if Hashem wants you to live, you live without a heart. He said, so much muscle had been destroyed in this person's heart that he really didn't think it was possible to be alive. But, you know, he said, it's not always totally by the book. People don't go by the book. And, you know, it was very interesting because he was like a guy who went by the book, and this was something that was very, very, like, you know, he said so much of the heart was gone that doesn't know how he could survive. But he's surviving and he's living and he had a very functional life. Very, I mean, walked around, went out, you know, learned. Like upon him. So Yichud is eliminating other possibilities that seem to us on this, just like for a primitive Obed Avodah Zarah, the wind was powerful and bowing down to the wind. That for us there are other people that have powers and so on, and that's why we need to be to work on it, not to let what appears to us on the surface of being powerful to change to influence us.
At the appropriate points, could Rebbe make us aware of why some Rishon would have had a problem with this?
Not a problem. I just think they didn't emphasize it. They were dealing with a different issue. They were dealing more. Usually, it's a shelas chacham as a chatzi tshuva. Their issue was, can we describe God or not? That was their issue. His issue is not, can we describe God, but where's avodas adam? In other words, and the word yichud is very significant to him, because so they're coming from two separate places. The earlier ones, the Rambam, Reb Sadie Gaon, and all the Bar Neil, all of them are coming in a theological struggle of, can we describe this God we're talking about? How do we deal with the terminology that describes God and so on? And he's dealing more with the Hanhuggis that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Megala to us, and how to tap into those Hanhuggis. They're coming from a different set of problems. It's like if you have two cooks cooking meals, you can't compare the cooking. You can say, well, this one's cooking, it tastes much better than the other ones, he must be a better cook. Yeah, but this person is cooking for someone who's trying to lose 100 pounds, and this person is cooking to sell this stuff, and it's a bit the world. You know, what's the Ramchal dealing with? Ramchal dealing is, describe Avodas Hashem. We're not struggling with other theologies. We're not struggling with abstract questions of describing Hashem. The question is, how do I structure Avodas Hashem? What is Avodas Hashem all about? That's the question. very, very different type of question. Amar Seich, Ato Kishin Noshel Lebenikol Sidmais Yitzbara, Kol Amais Agolo Sha'osu Mini Samar Amal Aretz, V'chol HaShevtiach Lonu, Lassas Din V'yak Toshim, Hine Masha Yitzbara Lonu Kol Zabir Gomer, Hu Otsim Yichud Yitzbara. The one thing that we do see is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only, unique, unique in the sense nothing else exists, not unique that he's only God. Vitiri, Shekol Shar Mailash Le Musa Bulti Balas Taklis, Einu Mesparan Seinu Klal. We have no way of, as long as we live, we don't get a greater sense of his pasimitas. Yes, we keep getting a greater sense of his Chachma, but divide the Chachma by infinity, and you're not, it doesn't mean anything. So if I understand, if I understand one derech of Hashem, and when I die, I understand 100 derech of Hashem. But since it's over infinite derech, then we really aren't going anywhere. The theory she kol shem mashim was a bulti balas tachlis in his eyes klal. So you don't ask us derech moshul. Yedanu shu chacham. We know that because a chacham, our lois sang zeh masay. We have no way of wrapping our hands around his chacham. Yedanu shu yodeya, v'lois sang nidiyosay. We know that he knows, that he's aware, lois sang yosay. While kainam chazal in the Tikkun Eliyahu, antu chakim v'lo b'chacham yediya, antu maven v'lo b'bina yediya. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is chacham, but he's not known. You don't get a keshet with him through chacham. He's b'bina, but you don't get it through bina. And being that we can't be masik, we spoke about this time. Rots is a little bit of a different knowledge. It says in Sefer Yetzirah that it gives an opening phrase regarding HaKadosh Baruch Hu's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu founded the world, I guess. And then it says, "Imrotz livcha shuvim komo." If your heart is running too far ahead, draw back. In other words, you have to go slowly, and you can't get ahead of yourself because it's like rolling downhill. You'll never stop, and you'll just lose control of it. It's built on a pasuk, this expression. It's a famous expression, "Imrotz livcha shuvim komo." It's built on a pasuk, "Vachayis Ritzo Vishav." It says that in the Maisa Merkava you had angels called Chayos, and it's Ritzo Vishav. They would, Ritzo was like ruts, they would go forward, Vishav, and draw back. By the way, life is described by constant motion. If something is living, then it's something is moving. A rock is not living because it is. Stuff that grows, vegetation, this internal movement of the water going up and the process and so on and so forth. An animal, a human being, moves. So the sign that someone is living is breathing and the heart beating. The heart beating is most pronounced. So, the what's fascinating about it is that the motion of life, like the heart beating and a person breathing, is Ritzo Vishav. It's inhale, exhale, and so on. It's always it's contracting and opening, contracting, opening, contracting, opening. In other words, the perpetual motion of life is a Ritzo Vishav. Vachayos Ritzo Vishav. It's always, and it's, I mean, it has many sort of echoes. The neshama lives because it struggles to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the Baal HaTanya gives a mashal. Baal HaTanya says, it says in the Zohar that fire the reason why fire flickers is because the shoresh of fire is above the earth, it's by the moon, and everything looks to come back to its root, and therefore the fire pushes itself up in a desire to get to its root, and then comes down again. The reason why offer is so heavy is because it's trying to get down to its root. But the idea of the fire going, so there's a certain paradox here that the Tanya hints at. If the fire were to succeed and go up there, it would be gone, because that's it. If it's able to free itself of where it's at, you'd have no more fire. If the fire had no desire to go up, it wouldn't be flickering either. Its motion is created by a constant trying to get there and draw back, trying to get there and draw back. It's a very, very, in other words, that gives things its motion, its flux, that it's not where it ought to be, and it's trying to get where it ought to be. The neshama is the same. By Chassidim, they have a concept called Kloisa Neshama, that the Rebbes, if they daven with such great Kavanah and Dveik Zekhash Baruch Hu, they may forget to come back down at this world again. So there's all sorts of, in the Hasidic lore, this is a big thing about this Rebbe was, you know, noticed that his Rebbe was in Shmoneh Esrei, was turning pale, and he did something drastic, like he shook him up. He said he realized that in another few minutes he'd be gone, and he had to pull him back to this world. That's the type of things that they, but the point is, any time you strive and get someplace, so emotion is by us, a ruchnistic emotion is a desire to get to some place that we're not. And that struggle creates the dynamics of growth, of religion, and so on.
Does that mean that Yerida is part of the fabric of growth, of healthy growth?
In a certain sense, yes.
Not
that
you're saying,
correct. It shows you you're not there yet, and it gives you the reason to keep going further. Correct.
That could apply to anything. Maybe, like, for example, much on a relationship, marriage.
Let's take a look. If it's done right in a marriage, it says, you know, there's Eis Chabot. Yeah, and that is neither. In other words, you don't have to fight with your wife. You can actually keep her as neither. And there is, it's a great substitute. I have a grandson. My son Yaakov's second boy is about 3 years old. He's a bright kid, but he has a certain tamimus to him. Like, he takes it, like, looks, like, I mean, he's 3 years old, but, and he has a bit of a lisp. So Yaakov was Shabbos, or they went to visit or meet by some friend of his, a couple. And the couple got into a shouting match. It was terrible. It was like, you know, uninhibited shouting match. They were screaming and yelling at each other. And, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it was embarrassing. And at some point, like, Yaakov just left. It was out there. But, you know, there was this high pitch, and then there was a lull. And all of a sudden, my grandson pipes up and he says, "So who is Wong?" Al Kapanim. But that's the concept of it, where you embrace and then you pull back from embracing, and it's more than it's just a hikatimtsa of it's more than just a hikatimtsa to keep things fresh because you miss something. It's a relationship. In other words, the Ritzov Vishav is the form of relationship. And that's why we sleep and we're up. Why not Kodesh Baruch Hu? Let's ask ourselves a question. It's a very inefficient thing. Why do we have a third of our day we spend sleeping? Some Shiva Baruch Hu won't be more. So the answer is, there has to be a certain pullback. There's Chol and Kodesh and Chol and Kodesh. You can't have all Kedusha. The force of... There's a beautiful mashal, I'm sure you've heard it, but it's a mashal that describes a certain social phenomena from Reb Nachman. It goes like this. Reb Nachman Breslin was an extraordinarily, I don't know what the word, controversial person. He was not, even the Chassidim were around him. I think he was, I mean, people felt he was brilliantly, he had a brilliant depth himself, and there were debates about the shove part. The Ritzov part, I think people were
What happened in the Shuv period?
What?
What happened in the Shuv period?
I don't know. There doesn't seem to be any gvulas. It's like just whatever. So it was a young person who died. So I'll go pun. He has the following mushroom. So he has stories that holds him back. Incredible stories. They're very deep. They're very convoluted and deep. One story goes as follows. One part of it goes as follows. There is a heart, H-A-A-R-T, in the world that is bigger than all the hearts in the world. And it's on a mountaintop. It's in a mountain. And that draws, a heart draws a heart. So it draws all the hearts of the world to come to it. And people see the heart, and it draws them, and that gives them the strength to keep going, making that journey to that heart. But as you get to the mountain, the size of the mountain casts a shadow over you, and you lose sight of the heart, and its tug fades. You don't have any more, so you fall back. And when you fall back far enough, you see it again, and it draws you again. And so you're always trying to get to the heart of hearts on the mountain, and you can never do it because of that. That's the story. It's a description that's used a lot for, you know, how come revolutionary movements sort of die out at some point? You know, people are so gung-ho to set it up, and then they sort of fall back. It's used for that, but it's part of this muscle, in a sense, that real motion in this world is created by Ritzo and Shuv. A force that drives you to something, and something that you fall back. And it's a cycle. That's really what it is. It's interesting, since we're kind of Purim dick. Kisvei HaKodesh, as opposed to Torah Shebaal Peh, is a gilui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Shemayim, and how did he know when it was daytime? HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught him Torah Shebaal Peh. How did he know it was nighttime? HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught him Torah Shebaal Peh. So the Torah Shebaal Peh is HaKadosh Baruch Hu appearing to us, and Torah Shebaal Peh is HaKadosh Baruch Hu not being there. It says b'machshakim v'shivani ze Talmud Bavli. It's I don't know the Allah, I don't know, and I'm groping for it. That's really what Torah Shebaal Peh is. And Megillas Esther is the last of Tanakh that we have chronologically. And that is written in the Shas of Esther. And there is no name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu there, and so on. It's a very, very interesting contrast to the rest of Kisim. It's not Torah Shebaal Peh, it's in Torah Shebaal Peh itself. We have a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu seems to no longer be there. And yet, this is where we begin to look for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hode Kibluha. The contrast in Hode Kibluha between Maimon Har Sinai and there is Maimon Har Sinai was a Gilui, and this was a total Hester. And at Maimon Har Sinai, the result of Maimon Har Sinai was Chet Egel. So the result of the greatest Gilui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our Richuk, our present Richuk, and the result of Purim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu being Behesta, is Hada Kibluha. It's almost incredibly paradoxical, and yet it's true in many other cases. Like also, there was somebody here. It's a chassan now, we're getting married very soon, who was going out forever with the same girl. And, you know, he wasn't sure, he wasn't clear, he had to make up his mind, he had issues, he had doubts, he had tzfeikis, and so on. And at some point, like 8 months into the process, the girl's handler called back from his service and said, or a thing could be done to move forward. He said, there's nothing you can do to move it forward. You need to break it off, period. I said, A, it's not right that she's just alone. He will not make up his mind, I assure you. And I said, and if anything, if she will show some richo, it might actually do. So she broke off, and he was kind of devastated. Like 3 or 4 months later, he sent her back a letter, and the rest is history. But it wasn't, you know, it's somebody who says counterintuitive. You know, when you're doing everything counterintuitive to make it, to make the scarves this and that, but the answer is no. They needed to have that you know, that's the way it works. It's the only cycle that's perpetual in this world is cycle. Linear movement can't be perpetual. You can't keep going in one direction. There's no room in the finite world. So it's like a pendulum can keep swinging forever. That type of motion can go forever. But this can't. That's the...
Is Rebbe saying that over here, the rots would be trying to understand Brosham Derek Shiyubi, and the shove would be understanding Derek Shiyubi, and sometimes...
He's saying that in Ratzim Shuv L'Makom means there's no way to keep going by going forward. You know, thinking a lot about it's not something that will work. You think it's the gvulas themselves create the right balance of being a tzav shav. So he's using it in that term. Over there, it's used in the Sefer Yetzira. The sense of it in the Sefer Yetzira is not to go further than you can. Like he says, b'muflam imchal tidresh v'kusuf al tachkar. It's the same idea. Recognize where you can go to and where you can't go to. And that's what the Sefer Yetzira says. Imratznit choshuv l'makom. If you're trying to go too far, pull yourself back. You know, too fast, too far is not where you can go.
And is that realization of pulling back is itself the gilui yichido that I cannot have. That is because
correct, but it's very hard because the it's almost in a certain sense. If you try to define it, if you try to get closer to Kashmir by understanding more and more about Kashmir, then shouldn't that mean that automatically the limits are limiting your ability to understand a Kaddish Baruch Hu? You're just having that issue keeps cropping up, and it's very hard. Let me give you another example. Being close with somebody, whether it's a spouse, you know, this also gets, you know, or a friend, is that you know a lot about the other person. But you know, you have people for whatever reason, when we say someone is very controlling or that type of relationship, they need to know everything all the time, anytime. And that destroys the relationship. So on the one hand, if you're keeping a secret from another person, that also tends to create a barrier. If you feel the other person is holding something because of it. On the other hand, if you don't give the other person the ability to have his own metzias, that's also destroys relationships. So, you know, that balance between not going all the way and yet, you know, wanting to be as close as possible yet giving the person the breathing room is the ideal. And those are hard ones.
What I'm asking though is that isn't that point of realizing I cannot be Tufis as Chachma, isn't that Gilui Yichudo? Isn't that the point to realize that...
sense that I can't be Tufis is not... The Gilui Yichudo he's talking about is that all Chachmas lead there. In other words, that everything peters off at some point by saying, you know, this is a great explanation for how the planets... circulate and this and that, but it's not explaining to me how it got there. It's not explaining to me what keeps it going. You know, it's eliminating every piece as a piece in its own right. Then I get to, and Lamar. So let's say I'm a political scientist and I come to a very complicated country or organization. Or whatever. I'm trying to figure out who wields the power here. So I say, maybe it's this guy. Then I see that at some point, no, he needs to come on to Reuven. Then I see this other guy. And then as I trace back, I realize he's also got to come on to Reuven. And so each player that I knock out, I'm left with one. So I don't know how Reuven manipulates it all. But I know Shimon's not the player, Levi's not the player, Yehuda's not the player, so it's all going back to Reuven. That's really the
And then there was none.
What? And then there was none. Yes, then there was none. That's it. That Einod Lovado. That's the and a lot of times, I mean, in the big picture life experience, you know, I always tell people, the big base medrash is life. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yeshiva. And whatever we don't pick up on our own, whatever lessons we don't learn on our own, we learn it over life. So the Havaminas people had to do well, to be a chacham, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulled the rug from under your feet. It gives you a very keen awareness of what's right. There was somebody I knew, it was an incredible personal event, but not personal for me, but it was, I had a neighbor, an acquaintance of mine, who was a guy who became quite rich quite quickly. You know, he I think he started out kind of rich. His family had money, and he did very, very well. And it went to his head big time. Big, big time. And, you know, he gave a lot of stuff, but the price of the stuff was like on Purim, all the ships that come to his house, they had a band, and he would make a big deal of the checks that he wrote. You know, it really was sickening. I had a different friend who worked for him. And I mean, the word Zchichas Adas was like the word described. He once ate with him lunch, whatever it is. This Gvir told my friend Yossi, being rich only takes willpower. If you really wanted to be rich, you would be rich. I'm telling you this now. And this guy couldn't, the world wasn't big enough for him. Vahiyah Yoyim, it collapsed from A to Z. It started with one bad transaction. I don't know if everything was a house of cards. I mean, it wasn't illegal, but it certainly was a very leveraged out. It started with one bad deal, and everything collapsed down. Not a shred of anything was left over. Plus, plenty of court cases and issues and stuff. I was already traveling back and forth, so I decided they lost the house, lost everything. So I went with my wife. We walked. We were living in Hanoff at the time, or anything. We walked to visit him. I just felt so bad. And he was a broken person. I mean, he is still, isn't he? And he told me, you know, I only said there's one thing I learned from this whole story, that there's a God in the world. And, you know, and he was going, you know, so, I mean, I think they have some small source of income now. They're low key and brought some of the kids because they don't have all the money. The pictures away, they're without the little mishigasin that they had when they were like this crazy spine splashing. And you know, he was you know, it brought him back to reality. But I like the way he said, you know, like as long as he was pulling 100 different strings, there was no way Akash Baba was really the Akash Baba. And now he says, I realize, you know, there's a God in the world. It told me that there's a Rebbe. I felt very bad for him, but it was a sincere remark. And you know,
I guess Len Yanenu,
yeah.
When somebody has, there's a student who's being matzliach and they slip, it can really throw us for a loop. But I think we just have to accept that is necessarily going to be part of the process. Like any success is going to.
Correct. It's not going. You have to also understand. It's like people have feelings, emotions, built up experiences. It's like a spring. You can't pull without. If the person is normal and his life and he's not eager to run away from everything, but he's had fairly normal life, and you're pulling a strong in one direction, the spring will snap back. The chiddush is that if you've done the job well, and that's why the slower and the more organic the process is, the much healthier it is. You know, in the tshuva, a young person getting to yeshiva makes incredible changes you can get any other way, and that's the positive part of it. But when somebody grew up being conservative, then they start having Otak Shul, and slowly begins to, you know, become more frum, and slowly moves his kids to a place like that, there isn't that type of snapback reaction. It's a mylan kesaret, and that's why a slower process is invariably because if you make those incremental changes, small and small increments, you have less and less pullback. It's like, you know, anything else. Like medication, it just starts slowing. Okay, I'm afraid of the Purim. We didn't get that far. I think we actually have done the first paragraph, but okay.
Rebbe, is this, and then there was non-much.